This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Tomorrow on this show, Ty Law, Ty Tuesday at 8:20, final Ty Law, Ty Tuesday before the end of the NFL season happens on Sunday. Thursday, Mike Milbury on a Bruins Thursday at 8:20, and then Friday in the studio all morning, it is the blind dating game with Mary. And Courtney, you said today is the final day to DM the show Instagram account if you're interested in maybe going on that blind date with Mary.
Yeah, right? You have 57 minutes to get your submission in. Just okay. Something quick, you know, introduce yourself and
there
why you think you'd be a good fit.
What you do, do you have to say, whatever, just a quick little blurb, right?
Social security number.
Right, quick little blurb.
And by the way, Greg, I know Wiggy has his reasons. I know why Mary's single. Very simple.
Yeah.
She is successful financially and in her life. And she's a good-looking lady, and the guys in the seaport want women they can control because they're very deeply insecure.
Mm. Well, it's not just why are you picking on the seaport? That
because
be
it
anywhere.
Bothers you. That's why.
I mean, I think is that an issue? You think is that she's successful and that's
of course
what, like
it is.
Guys.
Yeah.
Don't, why wouldn't you want? Like, wouldn't you want to date somebody who is well-to-do? Then you don't have to work.
Well, maybe she should date Jason Kelsey. He likes women that can pay for things.
I think that's the issue. I think
Travis,
she
I think. Was it Travis?
It was Travis. Yeah, Travis, Jason. Yeah. I think is happily married. Yeah. Oh yeah, has a baby on the way. Yeah.
She's not really Travis's taste.
Yeah, she's not.
Yeah.
But no, Jason's actually traveling with an OBGYN to the Super Bowl, so that if his wife were to go into labor, that she could do it in Arizona.
Yeah, but I mean, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Guys don't want to date a successful woman. That's almost ridiculous.
I think
maybe it's a dumb thing.
But I don't think that they'd outwardly say that. I think it's like a subconscious choice where they feel intimidated by somebody who, you know, has a good job, makes their own money.
I bet she comes off as intimidating to them.
And when you're out with her, and this was the craziest part, because my mom called me, Santo called me. They were like, that was the most serious I've ever heard Mary. If you see Mary out and about, she is the first one talking to a group of people. Mm-hmm. She is just, she's the most outgoing person I know.
Right.
So I obviously putting a mic in front of her gets her, it's a little bit nerve wracking.
Yeah.
She did great. And I think that on Friday, even more of her personality is going to come
based
out.
Based on what you tell us, her picker, her choice of men in the past have been kind of
off.
I don't want to say losers, but you know.
You could say it.
They've been bottom level.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's been drinking, you know, she's been drinking that liquor that's on the bottom shelf. She needs to get her some of that top shelf stuff.
So. Yep. All right. Well, anyway, we'll see if Mary can find love on Friday during the blind dating game. Curtis, with regard to your lead this morning at 6:25 or thereabouts, 617 text, which reads, why is Curtis suggesting that basically the only good thing about this Red Sox team, Alex Cora, should be bid farewell to? And I don't know if you were specifically saying he should go, but...
No, I was saying that if you really... maybe it was old news in a way, but the Drellick excerpts that came out in the Herald and at the Athletic on Friday painted a picture of Alex Cora in a way that we have not seen him here. What he projected after the investigation and the year-long suspension was a real feeling of remorse, a sense of how grave the mistake had been.
He said it was going to essentially live with him forever, that he was going to have to deal with cheating forever.
And I can't, and then the excerpt comes out where he is brazenly bragging about how he cheated to win the World Series and this apparatus that had been created. They knew the pitches before runners were even on base. And I just can't put two and two together and not get that the Red Sox 2018 championship is tainted. Because you're playing the identical team the Astros beat in 2017. There has not been an investigation. There has not been anything that would signify to Alex Cora that what he did was now going to be found out in 2018. So they beat the same team. They have no issues with it. And even after the penalty is in place and implemented, Cora's bragging about how good he was at it. I find this all to be incredibly damning to the lone bright spot that we all felt, even dating back to the winter weekend in Springfield, where Alex Cora was the only one that got cheered on a stage full of booze. And it's just got to be very frustrating, I think, to at least it's frustrating to me because he's a guy I've really liked and I think has been a really great addition since he arrived. Even after the cheating scandal, I thought he conducted himself with grace. He was humbled by it. He seemed to understand what went on. But this sort of light is counter to everything I thought we were seeing in Alex Cora.
But he's paid his penance.
Mm-hmm. Double jeopardy.
Really? He paid his penance? He missed a pandemic-shortened season, and he came back? I mean, I don't know. Do you know if Alex Cora is a great manager? I don't.
I think when you talk to players, they all have the utmost mm-hmm. respect for him. So I think if I'm based off that, I think he is a good manager. I also think when you're reading something in a book, context around it kind uh-huh. of gets thrown to the right. wayside. I don't know.
Isn't it like everything is like so smeared? Because there was the situations with the Apple Watch before Alex Cora. And you think about they probably were cheating. But, you know, Lou used to say this all the time that, you know, everybody was doing something in baseball. Do you think that the Astros were the only team doing that at the time?
No.
I don't think there
What's
were.
What's that mean?
You mean running around with buzzers on under their jerseys?
But there's never been any. Evidence of buzzers.
Right.
There's never been any.
They were not the only team cheating. Every team is looking for ways to get around rules.
Right.
And that's the issue when it comes to
and
baseball.
And that buzzer thing, they've never.
Right, which shows you how bad this was. That it was taken this seriously. A league full of cheating found this to be beyond the pale.
Right, because they were using the... And how is it an elaborate trash can banging scheme? You know,
read the report.
Right, but there were other teams. I forget there was another team that was supposedly supposed to be using some type of sound. But all teams were doing it.
What would we be saying if the Red Sox were the Dodgers? And they lost consecutive World Series to teams that were led by a guy that was found to have run one of the most organized cheating apparatuses in the history of the sport.
We would have said, do a better job of cheating.
That's
keep up
not
with everybody
else. Saying. The yes, lines would be lit. Give the Red Sox their title. What a
no one would say that. It would be hard here in New England because we've had our own cheating scandals.
Right,
so.
Exactly. No one would be tripping
Did you
about
hear
it.
How we reacted to the Astros cheating scandal before we realized it hit us at home?
I don't know.
We were going off about the Astros in 2017.
No,
they beat the Red Sox in the divisional round. Well, how did this happen? What a cheater. All that was going on.
You might have been tripping over it, but I looked at it, and I've said this, and I always say it. That's what baseball was at the time, and I believe a lot of teams are cheating. Because then we heard Alex Cora say, oh, I forget who the hell it was at the time. Was it Carlos Beltran or whatever with the Yankees saying, hey, their best offseason move was getting this guy.
Yeah,
So all the teams were doing something.
Right, and so he thought he was a great offseason move because the Red Sox got him to continue what he was doing. He was basically telling you they were still doing it.
So what are you mad about?
I'm not mad at all. I find this to be interesting. I just think I am frustrated at the local media here reacting totally different than had it been by a team the Red Sox play instead of on the Red Sox because I saw Lou tweet this. We can talk about a vendetta, but Greg, in the history of journalism, isn't every leak a vendetta?
Yeah.
That somebody is looking to color someone else in a negative light.
Yeah.
That's how every story is broken.
Or it's spin in advance of, you know, to save yourself is essentially why people leak things.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, of course, this is probably coming from someone that Cora doesn't get along with, but why are we attacking the source instead of the story? Like, that just seems to be... I've been part of this radio station for a long time, and there have been a lot of things that have gone on in other cities that we got all up in arms about. And this is a case where Alex Cora was the central piece among the two titles between 2017 and 2018. We thought we were through it, and the picture that was painted to us about Cora doesn't jive with what was released in this book, and that's what I find interesting.
Meaning that he was bragging about it to players on that team.
Right. If you hear Cora and others at the time of the penalty, it would have been like, it didn't happen here. They changed everything. Cora understood. He couldn't continue that. Of course that's not true in hindsight. I don't know why we believed it at the time. I guess that's my problem. But in general, We don't know if Cora's a great manager. He looked great in 2018. It was the greatest season in the Red Sox history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But in hindsight, how great was it? Were they just doing things better when the other team, they knew their signs, they knew what was going on? I believe that this year is going to take on added importance for Alex Cora, in part due to the revelations in this book.
One member, according to the book, one member of the Red Sox said, "We knew the Astros were stealing signs because Alex Cora told us."
Mm-hmm.
He said that when they played the Dodgers, "We already knew what everybody was throwing before we even got on base. We didn't have to get on base. And everybody was like, what the hell does that mean?"
But this guy's the vendetta. He doesn't like this guy's mad at Alex Cora. Well, you know, I'm sure that when you're down, people like to kick you when you're down. But this was something where it just doesn't mesh with the person we've been led to believe. That's all. That's the biggest takeaway from me.
All right. When does that book come out? It's not out yet, right?
No. In the next couple of weeks. Maybe we can get Evan Drellick on, who is he has an odd story in the book about his time hosting at WEEI.
Oh,
very
really?
Bizarre. Oh, right. I swear. But anyway, yeah. No, it's I'm looking forward to hearing what Cora has to say about it. I just don't think that this is going to disappear as quickly as Ken and others would like it to.
Okay.
Yeah, please let me know when this book comes out.
Right now, we got to get to Courtney and what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Wilson Farms. In Pat's news, we were all wondering about Nick Caley's future. He's been named the Rams' new tight ends coach. And in basketball, the Celtics are in action tonight, taking on the Pistons in Detroit. Tip at 7 p.m. The injury report is out. Joining Marcus Smart, who's out with that ankle injury, is Luke Kornet, who is listed as questionable with a left ankle sprain. And Steph Curry's out indefinitely with ligament damage he suffered in Golden State's win over the Mavericks on Saturday. They should have more information on a return in the next couple of days, but indefinitely does not sound good for a guy who's already battled injury so far this season.
So what was it the job that Nick Caley did with the tight ends here that was so impressive to the Rams?
Well, this will be interesting, Greg, because if Caley can coach it with the Rams, then it's a pretty dumb idea to have Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. And by the way, did Judge or Patricia get any interviews as a coordinator this year?
No, they're going to still.
So the guy that they had doing nothing was just hired by one of the best offensive minds in the NFL to be his offensive coordinator, and Patricia and Judge are both, you know, selling, you know, Crunch and Munch at Fleet Center.
Who's the offense coordinator?
No, Nick Caley was hired as the tight ends coach. Mike LaFleur is the offensive coordinator.
Well, he'll be doing very good things for LaFleur, I'm sure.
Yeah, and I think that you're going to get Joe Judge. I've said this, and Matt Patricia both going to be here next year.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about the Mavericks. That's a new home for Kyrie Irving. This came after he was reportedly wanting to go to the Lakers after he asked for the trade. A shock for LeBron James, who tweeted, "Maybe it's me," after it was announced that he was going to Dallas. Emo LeBron.
Been there.
Yeah.
He needs to do something, LeBron, because the Lakers, they stink. Mm-hmm. They stink. They just wasting his talent. Well, they should trade him.
Well, he's going to go wherever Bronny goes, right?
Who, Big LeBron?
Yeah,
that's what he said.
Right, but I don't think he wants to leave L.A., but he's running out of options as far as he needs another player to get him back to that level of, you know, at least championship contending. You've seen it when the Celtics played the Lakers. It's basically LeBron and that's it.
What is he, 36 points away?
I have a countdown clock on my wall. Yes, 36.
Jabbar's record, yeah. So
could
and
do
by the way,
Greg,
quick aside here.
Yeah.
I don't know if people on Twitch are just intentionally dumb or they're just that stupid. GameDog888.
Curtis, I call fraudulence here. You once said that Cora was a better manager coach than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, that's the whole point. I now question what he did with the new information. Is that hard to follow? Can anybody else not understand that?
No, I understood that.
Well, elsewhere in the NBA, following a game between the Pacers and Grizzlies on January 29th in Memphis, friends of Ja Morant aggressively confronted members of the Pacers traveling party near the team's bus. Now,
this
has been now investigated by the NBA after the folks for the Pacers said that there was lasers on their head.
No, laser pointers.
Laser pointers. Well, yeah, the laser pointers.
I mean, it would be impressive if they had actual lasers that they were using on the Pacers
Yeah, laser pointers, like the little red dots, as an SUV slowly went by with Morant in it.
Yeah, but they were saying they felt like the laser was connected to a gun.
Yes, so they said that they were...
Well, they felt just running around with laser pointers.
Right. But they felt like their lives were in danger, is what they said. The NBA said that NBA security and league investigators conducted an investigation interviewing numerous eyewitnesses. They basically said that they do think that there was some type of confrontation that happened, but they didn't have any evidence that, you know, was the laser pointing.
Well, Ja Morant was huffed for this because he said his brother is now banned from going to games for a year.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, you know, and they painted him out.
Well, wasn't his brother basically during that same game pulling Shannon Sharp throughout the whole
game? Well, I think they all got into it afterward. It's even Ja Morant into the, like, where the buses are and stuff like that. So I think they kind of got to, like, a confrontation with Pacers players and whoever else. So, I mean, we've seen that before where guys go to the back and they, you know, kind of continue with some of the beef that's going on from on the court.
If they did do that, though, how stupid are you to go by slowly in an SUV with laser pointers on people's heads?
Yeah, that would be really dumb.
Really dumb. And it's the week of the big game. The Chiefs and Eagles will face off in Arizona on Sunday. We have your play-by-play right here on WEEI. So listen on 93.7 or for free on the Odyssey app. And tonight you can listen to the Beanpot, which is BC and Harvard kicking things off at 5 p.m. And BU and Northeastern will face off right after that. That will all take place on WEEI 8:50 a.m. And Valentine's Day is just around the corner, and it's not too early to start thinking about what to get that special someone. Wilson Farm of Lexington has beautiful bouquets of red and colored roses and freshly dipped chocolate-covered strawberries ready to go. Don't drop the ball this Valentine's Day. Order now. Visit wilsonfarm.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis in Florida with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's 39 degrees in Boston.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.